Well, welcome everybody and good morning. I'm Kirk Konecki, the CEO Superintendent of Indian Hill, and we are here with our EduHero podcast for partners. And today I have with me Whitney Buell, our IHES principal. Good morning, Whitney.
Good morning.
And Betsy Henning, one of our brilliant teachers at Indian Hill Elementary. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning.
And our special guest, Kathy Palmer from the Alpaugh Family Economic Center at the University of Cincinnati. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thanks for being here. So, Kathy, we're all so excited to hear a little bit about your perspective this morning. You are one of the transformational partners we have here at Indian Hill Schools. You've been helping out in your capacity for years with the elementary and specifically with the stock market challenge. Can you talk to us a little bit, though, from your professional background about what this idea of a transformational partnership means for children?
So I think through my work at the Alpaugh Family Economic Center, we are a nonprofit that is focused, we have two sides of the house, a research side that does applied economic research and then an education team. And it's my work with the education team where I work most closely with these two. We have a number of different programs that are reaching kids, focused specifically in K through 8, but also we have some high school programs, at getting kids engaged in meaningful, fun financial education. I think sometimes it can feel a little bit like a chore. I think that's what makes the stock market game a little bit different, in that it's both a real world exercise, but also a fun exercise. It makes it fun to learn about companies, to understand how to research a stock, to understand the investing. We have also, in addition to the stock market game, been partnering on some family financial literacy nights, which have been incredibly well attended. The district has really embraced the idea of bringing people in for those. And I think it's been great to see the level of commitment to financial education at Indian Hill, both as a parent and as a professional.
Yeah, I love hearing that. And as a parent and professional, right, so often outside of our schools, our adults have lots of opinions they form about financial literacy and where children are in their development. Betsy, you work with this all the time, and you work with this amazing group of fifth graders every year. What would you say to those who are listening in the podcast about the capability and potential of these students as they are learning through these financial literacy activities? What are you seeing?
I see the students being exposed to opportunities, kind of demystifying what that adult world might look like in terms of finance, and then they are realizing that they have a part in it. So they are excited about it. They are learning that through critical thinking, you can make informed decisions about your future, and they're learning to invest, and they're learning about companies, and they're starting with what they know and taking it even further. The kids are completely capable of taking this to the next level.
That's what I like to hear. And next level, Whitney, is something you've been working on in your building now for some time. I think that the way you have worked with teachers like Betsy and partners like Kathy to expand opportunities for the children is really important. So the stock market game or challenge and what it used to be and what it is now has evolved. Explain that a little bit for us.
So when I first came to Indian Hill, only a small group of students participated in the stock market game. It was funded through the school district. The pandemic happened. We wanted to continue with the game and the partnership, and so the only way to do that was to broaden our scope. And so we decided from there that instead of having 50 kids participate in the game, we would have a whole grade level because we couldn't pull kids in small groups. So now the program is funded by our PTO, and we partner with the Alpaugh Center and Kathy, and we have a whole grade level that participates. Students that wouldn't have been able to participate in the past are able to participate now, so that's been 3 years.
And when you think about that kind of partnership and how a PTO, and I have to say Indian Hills PTO, so many volunteers, they give so many hours and so much support in different ways to our schools. But when you think about that as a parent, Kathy, like, this is what it's really all about, right? And what we want for all of our kids. So it doesn't really feel like a chore. It feels more like support. How can the University of Cincinnati and what you do support our schools in other ways than the stock market challenge? You were talking about some of these other activities, but what's important to the professionals at the University of Cincinnati for future students? What are your priorities?
So I think having university on your doorstep is a great opportunity to expose you to a wide range of different programs. We work with the Innovation Hub at the University of Cincinnati, which is this great resource in terms of getting kids excited. You have great makerspaces in Indian Hill, but that's a point of connection as well in terms of showing kids what's possible in terms of what you can study in college and what career fields might be open, and these cutting edge technologies and this sort of ever evolving coursework that better prepares students for careers that are really just, we're sort of getting an idea of what those look like, you know, a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. So
future career development, future career paths, yeah, we're all still kind of creating, and they're evolving very rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that from your side all the time with your research team and then the things that you're working on.
Right, and I think what's great about Cincinnati is I think Cincinnati is on the cusp of a real explosion in terms of growth as well. We're seeing that in terms of the economy, we're seeing that in terms of the tech corridor, in terms of great things coming to the state of Ohio. And I think where in the past, historically, there has been a real brain drain and Ohio's kind of had to fight that a little bit, I think now in a district like this, I think kids who are graduating from Indian Hill are looking a little bit more closely. Hey, what if I actually stay in Cincinnati? There are opportunities for me here. This is maybe a place where I would want to live. It just isn't where I grew up. It's where maybe I want to be as an adult as well.
I appreciate that. And I think, Whitney, we've been talking with our leadership team and our faculty for some time now about this idea of a holistic kind of K-12 approach to career pathways and development for students to be exposed to these kinds of activities and ultimately to become leaders who maybe can thrive in this region. How are you working with your faculty at Indian Hill Elementary to expand some of these types of opportunities in terms of career development and leadership awareness?
Well, we have a few things that we're working on. Through our Go Time, there's a lot of opportunities for students to have exposure to different careers based upon their passions. They get to pick what they want to do quarterly in those Go Times, what interests them, and bridge building is one. There's coding, there's robotics, there's so many opportunities for them, as well as through our project-based learning opportunities. We partner with different companies, and they really, like Kathy said earlier, they make meaningful connections and real world connections so that they understand why they're learning what they're learning. Because often they ask, why do I need to know this? And so when you give them a meaning behind it, then they start to become more engaged and they want to solve the problems and figure things out.
And I think, Betsy, your kind of simulation experience with the stock market challenge, some people may not realize it's not just a one-day activity. It's not just 45 minutes at Go Time for one period. It is a lengthy, deep, involved kind of problem-solving unit. So can you explain it a little bit specifically for those who might be listening?
Yes, definitely. Yes, the students are learning as they are going through the simulation. So we start talking about background information and things they might know about investing, but they are investing and learning at the same time. So they might change their minds from week to week, as you would in the real world, based upon new information that you have. So the learning continues. When we're finished with the simulation itself lasts 10 weeks, and it is quite exciting to watch from week to week how they are doing compared to other schools in the area, other schools in the state, but even to their own families who might be doing some investing and giving advice on the side. They're able to compare how successful, or maybe they're not so successful from week to week. But by the end of the unit, when we reflect on all the learning, that's when you kind of see that light bulb come on of, oh my goodness, I really did need to learn all of this, and I did learn all of this and make these really great decisions throughout the way. And I had fun. I didn't realize I was learning.
That's the key, right?
Yeah.
Is everybody has fun. And Kathy, this stock market game, it's much bigger than Indian Hill's fifth grade, even though we have expanded. Can you explain for people who are listening maybe what's going on with the stock market game?
Sure, the stock market game actually happens nationally. We control the game in the state of Ohio. But students who participate, they participate either as teams through school. We have homeschool students who participate on an individual basis, but you're given a portfolio of $100,000 in virtual value that you can then invest as you will. And we have students who play for a semester and students who play for the whole year. And you're competing against teams in real time. So not only do you learn how to evaluate a company, how to read a stock price, how to learn about a sector or a company's research its history, you are getting a sense of how the political climate, the economic climate influences stock prices, what interest rates do to stock prices, what bonds are, how stocks and bonds kind of work in tandem. Things that give you an incredible head start if you can get familiarity and mastery of those ideas when you're a kid. Having worked in Simply Money for years and worked as an advocate for people that had made, unfortunately, poor decisions, I think having an awareness of that when you're younger and building on those skills gives you such an incredible advantage then to being an adult and making those decisions with real money for yourself.
It's interesting because, right, if you're out there and you're shopping at Kroger or something, you run into somebody as an educator, sometimes they'll say, oh, boy, I wish these kids could just count proper change, or I wish they could put together a budget or learn about a checkbook. They're obviously learning a lot more, right? They may be learning different things with this particular game, but over the years, Betsy, they've had immense success, right? So can you tell us and our audience a little bit about that level of success that you've experienced and our fifth graders have experienced?
We have had success, the biggest success being their learning and their growth. And what they get excited about is the competition success as well. And we've done a good job. The students, we typically have several teams that are competing at the same time. We tend to have a couple teams in the top 10 each session, which is great for us to celebrate.
I think she's being a humble cat.
Yes, she is. Yeah, Indy Hill has built quite a dynasty over the years, in fact.
So. It's been fun. It's very exciting when real world collides with this learning. A couple years ago when we were doing this, and GameStop went crazy. Mm-hmm. And that is a company that the kids were familiar with and some of them had invested in. So when they see that they do have power, they do have a role in the larger economy, it's really exciting for them.
And I think it's something we can build on, right? And then scaffold as their learning continues at the higher grade levels, which I know has all of our principals and teachers kind of thinking about that. And I really think the stock market game has inspired work at other grade levels already. Whitney, what's the reaction to parents when they have this aha moment that their fifth graders are involved in something like this?
They're excited. I mean, for their students to have an opportunity like this, you don't get this everywhere you go. This is something that is uniquely Indian Hill and that we do for our students. It's real world learning. It makes it meaningful. And I mean, to see the parents, you know, joy and just how proud they are of their students. Betsy was being humble. We had 9 out of 10 top teams just this semester in the state. And that is against high schools in the state as well. So they're just proud of their students for their learning and to be able to make these decisions and to be engaged week after week after week. It's exciting.
And again, Kathy, you used the word dynasty, which is what I would have said. That excites me, right? But we're talking about fifth grade students not just out-competing their peers. They're out-competing people much older than them.
Well, and one of the great parts of the stock market game is that the top-performing teams come to campus every spring and participate in our portfolio challenge. So then the students are tasked with coming up with a presentation to explain the decisions that they made, to explain maybe some of the mistakes that they made and what they learned from. And they present it not only in front of their peers, the other teams that won, their parents, which Indian Hill always has a number of parents who come, but then we also have a team from Huntington Financial that comes and they act as judges who then will score and award a winner for that portfolio challenge. But every year we hear from our judges how impressed they are by just the depth of understanding that they show, sometimes the gutsiness of the decisions that are made, things that are pretty sophisticated in terms of investing strategies to come from elementary school kids.
And Kathy, we heard Whitney mentioned earlier this idea of problem-based or performance-based kind of learning environments that are being created like this. As a parent, why is that so important to you, this idea of student performance to show what they know?
So, I think it shows an increasing level, again, of sophistication in terms of the decisions that are made. I think when you see a kid enter into something like the stock market game in third grade, they're really just learning how to read a ticker symbol and how to understand that. And then as they get older and as their reading skills improve, they're reading Fortune and the Wall Street Journal, and they're engaging on a daily basis with analysis. And I think just seeing all of these skills that they're acquiring, their math skills certainly improve. seeing that all kind of come together and coalesce around something that's happening in real time and unfolding that they can talk to their parents about over dinner. It's this great sort of like circle of learning that happens. And the fact that it happens around money is exciting because that's something that is motivating, I think, for a lot of kids as well.
Sure. And I think that as you were just saying, this idea of authenticity comes across, right? And then it's being evaluated or judged, not just in this game, but then as they move through their career as students, the more important that becomes and the more kind of pressure we can put on them positively to do this, the more prepared they are, maybe when they come to an institution like the University of Cincinnati in the future. Well, let's put you on the spot for a minute, Kathy. Like, when people are coming to the University of Cincinnati, what should they be prepared to be able to do, and how should they be able to present themselves when they make that transition from, let's say, Indian Hill High School to UC? What is it that people expect?
So I think with a lot of schools, I think there is sort of a baseline expectation in terms of your grade point average and your test scores, whether it's test optional or not. But I think you want to get a sense of authentic self. And what is it about this person? What will they bring as a unique individual to this campus? What can they contribute to this community? How can they move the conversation ahead, whether they're interested in the environment, or they're interested in student government, or they're interested in athletics, or some other kind of cause? I think getting a sense of the ways that, because you're going to be an adult in that environment, what can you bring in as an adult, contribute and make your university community and the community you live in, Clifton in our case, a better place to be?
That's excellent to hear. And of course, serving the community, I hear that coming through in your answer when you're talking about who you want, but also what can they do, right? And I think that's really important for our students to understand at every grade level as they progress. The Alpaugh Family Economic Center works on some unique things. What are some of the top kinds of priorities that you have right now, or things that you're working on that maybe the average listener may not know?
So one of our focuses is just equity. I think what we see sort of across the entire educational landscape right now are equity gaps. And this has been, unfortunately, sort of exacerbated by the pandemic. We see that in Greater Cincinnati. We are in a number of schools through the stock market game, through our student enterprise program as well, where we just see these, unfortunately, these learning lags and losses that we're trying to help through our programming. Our programming brings a lot of math to the table. But I think Indian Hill is a district is just blessed with a lot of resources. It's blessed with phenomenal teachers and administrators and a very engaged group of parents who have very high expectations for their kids. The unfortunate reality is not that every district has those things. So I think we are focused on bringing the stock market game right now to Title I schools. We have a great partner in Huntington Financial. They have funded scholarships for 500 stock market game teams throughout the state of Ohio.
Excellent.
And we are focused on districts that have historically been underserved, that have maybe never played the stock market game or engaged kids in that way. And it's very exciting to hear from teachers that have kids that are, we had a teacher that we are actually going to be honoring at our annual awards. Betsy is a former honoree of ours for our Personal Finance Educator of the Year. This is another phenomenal educator in Zanesville who tells us that her students who have never had any exposure to investing are now so excited about talking about their stocks and their investments that they're making that she has to basically kick them out of her classroom. They don't leave when the bell rings because they're that engaged.
That's the kind of engagement we all want, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. It sounds like you're working on really expanding that reach and providing service to so many who need it. And, of course, equitable opportunities. And I think Whitney and her team with Betsy trying to expand this beyond a class to an entire grade level is a great example of that as well. Let's talk about that fun for a minute. Betsy, like, what is the most crazy, fun, amazing portfolio you saw kind of put together? Like, give us an example of the success level of these children.
I think last year we had a pretty phenomenal team. They were kind of doing things beyond me, if we're being honest. They really got into short selling, and they ended up making over $36,000 in 10 weeks, and they were actually first. They beat every high school team in the state. It is pretty fun to watch kids get excited about something that they think they know more than adults too.
And Whitney, you and I have been able to like visit the classroom while this is going on, and the students are kind of putting their portfolios together. What are some of the companies that the kids get really excited about and that they like to kind of, you know, study?
Well, I mean, they, like Betsy said, GameStop was a big one. Anything that they can relate to. Lululemon, they like. Best Buy, one of them this morning was talking about Kroger and how Kroger didn't help them out so much. So they want companies that they know something about. They get really excited when they can relate to the company.
And that emotional attachment to the learning, like you were saying before, Kathy, then keeps everybody engaged to the point where sometimes they don't want to leave that activity and move on to the next thing. And of course, when they have a phenomenal teacher like Betsy, that makes it even harder. But they do have to go other places. So let's wrap up with this. We're talking a lot in the district now about developing a holistic kind of leadership culture. And again, leadership sometimes is hard to define, but easy to see. As a parent, as a community partner, Kathy, when you think about leadership skills, what is it that you hope for our students as they matriculate through the district to learn about leadership?
That's a big question. I think it's identifying that kind of passion within yourself and the thing that is most motivating, because being a leader can be hard. And so you have to identify the thing that is important to you. I have a child that has Down syndrome in this district. And so for me, meaningful inclusion is sort of the thing that lights my fire. And we have been fortunate to find incredible leaders here like Sandy Gemmel. Who's actually partnered with us on some adapted resources for financial education for kids with disabilities like my son. So that is an area in which, you know, I can see a huge difference being made. But I think it's, again, we talked about authenticity, finding something that is important to you and that you want to keep learning about. I think always being willing to learn more, because there's always more to learn, and never being satisfied with your level of expertise in an area is important.
I love that, never being satisfied, maybe for yourself, even as an individual, right? Sometimes leadership is about just leading yourself, and that's okay. Excellent. Thank you for sharing those thoughts. Betsy, how about the teacher perspective on leadership, right? At the elementary level, maybe that looks different than other levels, but what's it mean to you building a leadership culture?
I think Kathy gave such a great answer there. Really, I love what you said about finding your authentic self. I think every student has that capability. Everyone has what excites them and what their passion is. And when they find that and they can use that for good, that's very powerful. And when you have great leadership as examples, then it also inspires you to take it further.
That sounded like an edgy hero answer, when you do things for good. Like, that was like a superhero answer. I appreciate that, Betsy. You know how I feel about that. Whitney, this idea of leadership, right? We're working hard as a whole organization to kind of define what it looks like at different levels and different spaces and places and formats. What does it mean for you, for your students, when you think about the importance of developing these leadership skills?
Well, the most important thing is that we do for all students, and not just pockets of students. Like Kathy said, we need to take care of them all. And so making sure that each individual student has leadership opportunity, and how do we find that out, and just keep building those opportunities for them. Because leadership is lifelong, just like the financial literacy. It's a lifelong skill for these students to have. We are developing the future leaders out there for the United States, and so it's our job to make sure that we give them the experiences while they're here, so that we prepare them for the next step, whether it's college or whether it's going straight into the workforce, so that they are successful when they leave us.
Yeah, I think building leaders and building those skills, those muscles of leadership over time, right, for each individual, then they can use them however they need to use them to be successful in their own lives, is what you're all talking about. That's what we're going to continue working on here. I think it's obvious when we have a transformational partner like Kathy and her organization, the Alpaugh Family Economic Center, the University of Cincinnati, Huntington, all of the groups that come together in a school community like this, we have the potential for that secret sauce to really help teach leadership to do good and serve the community with what really matters. And I think, Kathy, right, you'd probably agree, help this region to thrive.
Yes. Yeah, it's exciting to see such talented people want to stick around. So I'm hoping that we can do more. I think University of Cincinnati's experienced explosive growth. I've got a kid there myself. I'd love to see more Indian Hill kids come and contribute their talents there.
Well, we appreciate you as a guest today, but more important, as a parent and a partner, thank you so much for all you do for the Braves. Betsy, thank you so much for all you do to lead the Braves and, of course, dominate the stock market game with your students. I know that you're humble, but you should be proud. And Whitney, thank you for all you're doing to develop leadership with your students. And, of course, whether it's financial literacy or some other area, I think that your building is a real lighthouse kind of district in terms of this culture you've developed with your faculty and your partners. And we're going to continue working on that here at Indian Hill. Thank you all for joining me on the EduHero podcast today.
Thank you.